It's time to tantalize your taste buds. It's time to fork this with Intoxicate. Here is Kate.
Welcome to Fork This with Intoxicate. I'm your host, Intoxicate Kate Slentz, food lover and professional restaurant recommender right here in Westchester and Fairfield counties, giving you all the resources you need to live life deliciously. You can always catch Fork This with Intoxicate Tuesdays at 6 p.m. right here on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com, as well as your favorite podcast platforms. Now, if you'd like to stick a fork into some of the food and beverage info I'm throwing at you, make sure to check out Intoxicate.com. Of course, that's Intoxicate with a K for more info. I hope you had an enjoyable Columbus Day weekend. My weekend kicked off Friday as I traveled up to Hyde Park, New York with my fellow bloggers, Instagrammers, and influencers to the Culinary Institute of America, where I took part in an event, a very exceptional dining experience, dedicated to the region of Tamaulipas, Mexico. Now, I did not know a lot about Tamaulipas going into the event. And even after the event, even after talking to some of the people involved with tourism and tasting some of the food from the area, I still didn't know that much about it in terms of where it was. And Tamaulipas is one of the 32 federal entities or states of Mexico. And it's located in northeast Mexico. Texas is to the north, and it borders the Gulf of Mexico. Now, if you've heard of Tamaulipas before, you might have heard about some of the negative things, that we may associate, news stories and whatnot in Mexico. And, that was one of the first things I wanted to chat about because it's one of the first things that the chefs and the head of tourism kind of spoke about in the very beginning about how they are traveling all over the country to bring the food of Tamaulipas, Mexico, to people in the United States to educate them about their culture, about their food. But also kind of change the misconceptions that people might have or associate with the entire region. You know, they are in a very difficult situation, trying to educate you about their home when we kind of go into it thinking that these, news stories that we see are happening all over Mexico. So it was very interesting to kind of see that balancing act, to talk about that first right up front and, acknowledge it and say, okay, here it is, here's the situation, and this is what's different, and this is, this is what the reality is, and this is how we're going to change your perception. It was an incredible evening. And I was so lucky because when I was first invited by this amazing marketing and branding company that's actually right in Westchester, it's called Enormous Creative. They were working directly with the Culinary Institute of America. They just invited me up as a media professional to kind of come and experience the food and to write about it, which was very interesting. And again, I didn't really know a lot about the event and what I was kind of stepping into. And then one of my very good friends at Enormous Creative, John Van Decker, asked me to kind of take part into the event in a little bit of a different interactive way. Obviously, I have my interviewing skills honed with Fork This with Intoxicate. And so what he did is he asked me to actually capture some interviews with people, kind of really getting their response to the food, to kind of, have them reflect on the experience, which was incredibly interesting because I got to have these conversations with so many different people that I might not have had. I was lucky enough to sit with Marissa, the head of tourism for Tamaulipas, and some of her staff during dinner. So that was a really exceptional experience because I got to dive in a little bit deeper and talk to her a little bit more about Tamaulipas and the culture and the travel and tourism aspect. But then I got the real privilege to talk to some of my media professionals who I wasn't sitting with, about their take and their perception of the food. And it was really just kind of this really surreal moment to kind of sit back and be so invested in everybody's experience and be part of everybody's experience, because I was talking to them so much about what they liked and some of the things that they were surprised about. And it was just a really very, very cool conversation. And the other thing that I really liked about this experience is, when we travel, specifically, you know, myself and my family, you know, we really like to kind of go off the beaten path a little bit. For example, when we went to Iceland, we were speaking with the concierge and we said, you know, please don't tell us where you send the tourists to go to dine out, to go to a restaurant. Tell us where you go, because we really like to immerse ourselves in the region that we're in and kind of explore through their eyes. And that's kind of what this experience was. I was talking with Marissa and she was saying, you know, the area of Tamaulipas isn't really heavy on tourism, right? There's not a ton of these resorts all over the place. It's still a very authentic experience. And that's what this experience was. It kind of matched the travel aspect, is that it was very authentic. We had Chef Hugo Urtaza Alvarez from Tampico, Tamaulipas, a fantastic chef. Also Chef Angel Garcia from Tampico, Tamaulipas, working with chef instructor Brian Kaywork, who works at the American Bounty restaurant. And we're going to chat a little bit with Brian. But, you know, to kind of talk about the experience and how, you know, these two chefs come in, they work with the students, they work with Chef Brian and teach them the techniques that they're using in Mexico. Again, a very authentic experience. They work on these menu items for such a long time. And, you know, the students get a really interesting experience kind of doing something that they may not be doing. One of the chefs that I actually interviewed that had worked on the food all week, said that, you know, I took a class about Mexican food, but it was nothing like this experience. You know, learning from this experience, you know, talking to these chefs, having them, you know, tell them the history and the culture behind different dishes must have been very surreal. So the evening started, again, at the Culinary Institute of America with a cooking demonstration where the two chefs kind of talked about, Tamaulipas in a very cool way, saying that it's kind of has this microclimate, right? They have very regionalized cuisine within the state because the climate is so different in various areas. You know, for example, they were saying in the north, it's a more kind of deserty feel, and they raise goats there. More towards the Gulf of Mexico, of course, you're going to be getting fish and shrimp right out of the ocean. But then at the same time, they have all of these like lagoons kind of tucked in areas where the water changes from freshwater to saltwater, and how that influences the flavor of things like shrimp and crab and trout. So it's very cool. And they were talking about how in the Southwest, they call it one of their magic towns, and a really, really big influence there is enchiladas. So it's very interesting how, you know, we think about our food and how we have this new kind of trend towards asking for local food. Whereas in some of these other areas of the world, you know, that's how their regions have always been. It's always been such a local influence of what's going on, and an emphasis on, you know, what's in our backyard, what can we use, and how can we make it our own. Again, very interesting. They made two dishes, which were both very, very cool, very delicious, and they were street food. So the first one was shrimp boca a la Mexicana, which is a kind of like a traditional street food from the Huasteca region of Tamaulipas. It had a corn masa that was cooked with lard, or made with lard. So when they cooked it, you know, it had this nice grease to it in the pan, and it's filled with shrimp, onion, tomato, and cilantro. Very simplistic ingredients, total packed with flavor. And then the second one was the enchilada tolteca. Now, this was a corn tortilla seasoned with dried chili adobo, stuffed with carrot, potato, and chorizo, and then topped with lettuce, cheese, and cream, which is very cool because we had this whole conversation, which, you know, I get very excited about the cream and how, you know, what they consider like the fresca, that kind of cream. We think of sour cream. Theirs is completely different, but very, very interesting. Very versatile, you know, especially talking about the corn and how it's turned into masa or turned into a tortilla. A lot of interesting things going on there. And I also want to talk very briefly about the actual dinner. The dinner was amazing. You know, we kind of walked out of where the demonstration was and walked over to American Bounty, which was like beautifully decorated. I mean, if you haven't been up to the Culinary Institute of America, you have to go. Hyde Park is beautiful and it's just an incredible experience. The campus is just gorgeous. We walk into the restaurant and, you know, it started with a couple of different appetizers for a cocktail hour. But then we went into dinner. And the first thing that we had for dinner was nothing short of amazing. It was so the best seafood ceviche I've ever had. They called it the Gulf of Mexico Seafood Ceviche. It was a lime marinated whitefish and octopus, onion, tomato, serrano chili, cilantro. I'm putting this up on intoxicate.com and Intoxicate Foodie on Instagram and Facebook because it was by far my favorite dish of the evening. The flavors were absolutely incredible. Fish, incredibly fresh. But the thing that was very cool about the dish is they set it down in front of me and there was this yellow kind of flat thing on the dish, which you'll see in the photograph. And at first I thought it was a pressed flower. And I thought to myself, oh, how pretty, you know, they're doing a really nice presentation. This must be like a flower, you know, from the region. But it was not. One of the first things, you know, and the chefs come out and talk to you about each course. One of the first things he said is, you know, that yellow piece on your plate is actually dehydrated pineapple. So it actually turns it into a chip. So what you do is you put the ceviche on top of this dehydrated pineapple chip, and that's how you eat it. What an incredible twist on a ceviche, because with ceviche, you know, it's cooked with acid. So you have that, you know, that acidic lime flavor really up front with that, you know, different textures of the fish. But when you add the sweetness of the pineapple from that chip, totally changed the whole dish. And it was just a really nice surprise, unexpected surprise. Next course was a seared grouper and what they call green papayan, which is a pumpkin seed and tomatillo sauce. And then they had that with the rice Mexicana. Now, this sauce I practically licked out of the plate, so you can understand how delicious it was. That pumpkin seed was a really, again, very nice flavor, really nice addition. The next course was goat tacos with salsa Mexicana. Now, this was kind of the dish that kind of, you know, kind of cut everybody at the table in half. You know, are you going to eat the goat? Are you not going to eat the goat? You know me, I'm a very adventurous eater, so I dived right in. It was with a flour tortilla and creamy avocado, a very nice, bright dish. Very, very cool. And I'm telling you, that goat was just such a meat that was so tender and just pulled apart. Very cool. And then the last dish that I had, there was dessert after this, but I was busy working, so I didn't get to taste dessert. So I will have to reserve that for other people's takes. But the last entree that I had was asado norteño. Now, this was an adobo braised pork with a tender corn tamal and grilled panela cheese. Again, very interesting composed dish there. You've got the cheese, you've got the tamal, and then this adobe braised pork, which was so incredibly smoky tasting. And I was talking again with Marissa, who had spoken to the chefs about this dish and how it's traditionally made. And the smokiness comes from roasting these peppers. There's no smoke infused, you know, some of the things that we think about in the kitchens here in America, or even, you know, behind the bars where they've got the smoke boxes and they're, you know, making some smoky cocktails. This all came from a pepper, and wow, it was incredible. Literally filled your mouth. And what I really liked most about it is that it kind of stayed with you a little bit afterwards, which is kind of interesting. You know, one of those things that kind of coats your mouth a little bit, and a couple minutes later, you still feel that smokiness. Loved it, loved it, loved it. Now, because this was such an incredible experience, I wanted to share it with you, but it's going to make today's show a little bit on the different side. You know, it's not going to be traditional interview like I normally do on Fork This with Intoxicate. We're going to have a couple of clips. So I'm going to introduce you to people who I spoke with about this experience, about Tamaulipas, about what they do up at the Culinary Institute of America. And it's going to be some of a lot of repetitive questions, but you're going to see that people had different opinions when it came to diving into the food and kind of exploring it and what their specific takeaway was. And I love the fact that I have the opportunity to do this, because you know how I feel about food and how it's so subjective. You know, what I say is not gospel. I definitely try to be as informative as possible, and obviously paint a realistic picture of something for you. But to be able to kind of bring this experience to you is very, very cool to me. So stay tuned.
Well, we have to take a quick break. You're listening to Fork This with Intoxicate. Keep it locked right here at 1490 WGCH. Welcome back to Fork This with Intoxicate. I'm Intoxicate Kate Slunts, your host, serving up info to tantalize those taste buds every Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com. Now, if you're looking to book your next night out, make sure to keep it locked right here, or for a personal recommendation, you can hit me up on Facebook or Instagram at Intoxicate Foodie. Of course, that's Intoxicate with a K.
So if you're just tuning into today's show, the format is a little bit different. On Friday, I visited the Culinary Institute of America for this amazing exploration of the region of Tamaulipas, Mexico, through food, an incredible experience. And I really had the opportunity to interview people about their take on Tamaulipas and about their kind of opinion of the food and of the region. So first, we're going to start with Marissa Castro, who is the Secretary of Tourism of the state of Tamaulipas, to kind of give you a little bit of an introduction on the region and its cuisine.
So I am officially obsessed with Tamaulipas. I want to visit. For someone who isn't familiar with the area, what would you say is the one thing that they need to explore, they need to come to your state?
Our extraordinary cuisine. That I may think, besides, Tamaulipas is a place very blessed by nature. We have a lot of beautiful lagoons, rivers, and nature places that you can visit, but definitely you can explore and taste our culture through our food.
I think one of the most fun things that I've learned through the cooking demo and through the courses that we've had so far is how regionalized the food is. You really celebrate what is specifically in your local area. Could you tell us some of the things that are popular?
Yes, well, Tamaulipas is a very big state, not only for its great offer of many things, but each region has its own particular thing to be distinguished for. If you are in the northern region of Tamaulipas, you can try a different kind of food like cabrito, or you can find many dishes that are a blend of different cultures. You can also find at the center region of Tamaulipas everything that's made with masa, as we tried before, all the gorditas and different stews that can be used for. at the coast of Tamaulipas. We have 420 kilometers of coast, and we have the best oysters in the world. Very good shrimp and very high quality of ingredients to cook with. And at the south of Tamaulipas, you can try a lot of seafood cooked in very different ways. So I think what we can celebrate of Tamaulipas' culinary heritage, it's truly its diversity.
And I love that Tamaulipas was not on my radar when it comes to traveling. And now, you know, you've convinced me between the meal and our conversations. In addition to the amazing food that you guys have, can you just touch on some of the things that, you know, if we're thinking about traveling there, that we could possibly do?
Well, first of all, as we were talking before, traveling now is just about new experiences, and that's what you'll get in Tamaulipas, great experiences in our different touristic attraction or destinations, such as Playa Miramar in the south of the state, or the Reserva El Cielo in the center of the state, all of the nature or adventure tourism that you can practice there is really great. We have two magic towns, as we call them in Mexico. You know, there are 111 magic towns denominated like that. And we have Tula and Mier. And you can about have everything of the touristic segments that you can find any place because of our diversity.
And one of the things that I really enjoy talking to you about when it comes to tourism is how there's this trend towards finding things that are very authentic experiences versus trying to stay at, you know, very high-end, luxurious places. Can you speak a little bit about that?
Yes, well, as we said before, the trend now, a worldwide trend, is to look for new experiences, to look back for what's typical in certain places, and that's what you can find in Tamaulipas. Sometimes you are not looking for the five-star luxury vacation, but the authentic or real place to get to know and encounter the real culture of a place, and that's what we are promoting in Tamaulipas, to come, to visit us, to try our food, to meet our people, to enjoy our places, and we are sure you'll have a great time.
And speaking of trends, and I know we talked about this in very much detail because you and I both have a love for tequila. One of the trends here is really making sure our cocktails are kind of in line and pair well with our food. Is that something that we can expect from your region?
Yes, well, Tamaulipas has 11 different regions in itself, where we produce tequila, but not only tequila, but mezcal. We already had this night. Tonight we had the cocktail Tampico Madero, which is prepared with mezcal. It's a popular trend now worldwide. We were talking about how you can drink it. I am sure that the Tamaulipecan mezcal will get to be very famous because it's the best quality, but best of all, the best flavor.
And it seems like, especially with Mexican culture, and it seems like, it's this way in Tamaulipas as well, is that, you know, food and culture go hand in hand. It's so important to the family to sit down and have a meal. Can you speak a little bit about that, maybe from your own personal experience?
Well, food is something that gets to you through your senses, and it's a very emotional experience. It's part of our cultural heritage, our familiar heritage, and it's what we are proud to bring here. It's something that we have been passing on from family to family in a traditional way, and that's why we're here for, to share with all of you this experience through our food that you can take in through your senses and take home a little piece of what Tamaulipas is.
And I'm officially obsessed. I want to come. I want to explore. What is the best advice that you would give on exploring Tamaulipas?
Well, first of all, you have to decide what would you like to see, because we have almost everything, hunting and fishing. We have beautiful beaches. We have gastronomic, historical, cultural tourism. We have almost everything. So first, you have to decide what you want to do or what you want to visit. And then you can start booking through our webpage, visittam.mx, your experience, or contact us also through our webpage, and we'll be sure to help you book your vacation.
And if you're exploring the area for the first time and you kind of want to explore a couple of different areas, how long would you suggest people stay?
Well, as I've said before, it's a very big state. But if you want to take like a quick trip, it could be a 3-day stay. You can enjoy a lot of different activities. And I'm sure about 3 days, you won't get to see all state, but you'll get a very good picture of what Tamaulipas is.
And as far as the food that we've had so far tonight, was there something that really stood out for you?
Well, I really love pipián. It's a very traditional dish. It's made up with pumpkin seeds. And it's something from the Huasteca region that I really enjoy because it's part of a family tradition also.
And you mentioned that you love cooking yourself. Is there a dish that is your favorite dish to cook?
Any kind of seafood. Anything seafood. That's my favorite kind of cooking. And we have the best seafood in Tamaulipas.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Well, we have to take a quick break. You're listening to Fork This with Intoxicate. Keep it locked right here at 1490 WGCH.
Welcome back to Fork This with Intoxicate. I'm Intoxicate Kate Slunt, dining with you Tuesdays from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com. For additional information on anything you hear on today's show, you're going to want to visit Intoxicate.com. That's Intoxicate with a K, where you can find food photos, news, events, and more.
I am recounting this amazing experience I had Friday at the Culinary Institute of America in Hyde Park, New York, with this exploration of Tamaulipas, Mexico through culture and cuisine. And first up, we're going to be chatting with Chef Brian Kaywork, who's a chef instructor of American Bounty at the Culinary Institute of America, to kind of paint a picture on how this event all came together in the kitchen.
All right. Well, I have to ask first, this amazing jacket, what's going on here?
Oh, man, this is the way we commemorate a great evening. We've been working for quite some time putting all this together. Collectively, for the last week, we've been prepping, getting to know each other. You kind of get this brothers in arms kind of thing going on, which is great. And as a great gesture, they gifted me this. And so we have to get and by the end of the night, everybody who was part of this in the kitchen will sign this. And this is what you do. It's wonderful.
I love this.
Yeah.
Now, can you tell me a little bit about the process and how an evening like this kind of all comes together?
Sure. It starts with an idea of trying to come together for a reason. In some ways, I guess if you wanted to be lofty about it, it's kind of gastro diplomacy, you know, to learn about a couple of cultures through food. And as chefs, this is what we do. I mean, we speak kind of a universal food language back there. Leading up to this, there's a lot of meetings. We kind of see which way we want to go. We work on format, we work on timing, and kind of the unromantic stuff. And then we work on a menu and an idea. And in terms of the way the logistics goes, these chefs come in and I am their host. So I absolutely try to get them everything they need to express themselves. I do a lot of legwork so they can just focus on their dishes. And that's what we've been doing. So for the last 5 days, they've been in here on campus. Students have been working with them, which is the whole idea of this, is getting the students to have a chance to learn about a region through the food, which is honestly the only and best way to do it, through two great master chefs. It's incredible. So for the last 5 days, students have been prepping with them. I've been prepping with them. And then, you work out the serving logistics and timings and all of that. And then by the time we get in there, the students who are performing learned about this menu about 6 hours ago. So this says a lot about them. They're learning a completely new menu on the fly, and they're assigned roles. And the chefs and I guide them. And it's not the chefs and I cooking everything. We want the students to cook it. So they're in the back, you know, getting right into it. So it's a really, really great, enriching experience for everybody.
It must be very empowering, too, because you're kind of, you know, leaving them to it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's a lot of ways to teach, but you know, if someone's following the path of being a chef, they're kinetic. They learn with their hands best. Certainly, it's not like we don't know how to read, but we want to get in there and do it. So, yeah, I think you're right. It is empowering.
Now, why was the cuisine of Tamaulipas important for you to bring here to the CIA?
You know, when it was presented, it's a region that's kind of under-recognized for its food. And right there, that's enough of a reason. You know, if it needs a chance to have a spotlight shown on it, I think that that was a good enough reason for all of us. And once that suggestion made its way, it kind of just went forward right away.
And was there anything surprising about the cuisine or the techniques that they're using for you?
I wouldn't say surprising. When you get to know a lot of Mexican cuisine or, you know, other cultures too, it relies on food knowledge and finding good ingredients and trying to just make them the best they can with the lightest touch you can. Some sauces are very involved, the adobo sauces that we had tonight. It's a lengthy process. But even still, there's a certain cleanliness and clarity with the sauces too. So don't get too chefy. Have a light touch. Let the main thing shine and go with that. That's not a surprise, but it was nice to be part of.
And I was very impressed with the menu this evening because I feel like we had a kind of whole variety and cross-section of different flavors. Can you talk a little bit about what that process looks like when you're putting together a menu for an event like this?
Well, this evening I had zero say in the menu. I really didn't. I was along for the ride. Chef Hector Hugo was the one who put that together with Angel Garcia. And, you know, they came forward with what they want to do, and we went with that 100%.
Chef, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Sure. What an amazing opportunity to kind of see the behind the scenes on how this event came together. Up next, we have Janet Croshaw from Valley Table Magazine.
So, Janet, how much did you know about Tamaulipas before coming here?
I knew nothing about Tamaulipas, even how to pronounce it coming here. I was curious. And it was just so warm and welcoming to meet the people who are from here.
And what has been the biggest takeaway for you about the location?
Well, I think it was really about the people and the connection between, you know, this is the conversation around our table tonight. The food was amazing. The ceviche was like none other that we've ever had. The flavor was amazing. We all tried things that we hadn't had before, like the goat meat. And everything was delicious. But really what moved us was what we heard from the chefs and the people that we met from Mexico who made us want to go there and also recognize that there are challenges. They express challenges in Mexico and in particular their area. And it was so warming to hear that, like, this is the way they want to overcome them by reaching out through food and inviting Americans to come.
It's a really wonderful thing how food can be like that, isn't it?
You know, it totally breaks down all the walls. You can all agree or disagree about a flavor that you're tasting, but it brings everyone together, and it's a great way to celebrate.
And I love that you mentioned that speaking to the chefs this evening has been really, really rounded out the experience for you. Is there anything specifically that stuck out to you that you just, you know, are feeling like you're definitely going to take home with you?
I enjoyed not only speaking with the chefs, but then seeing them in the video that was produced. I don't know who produced it, but it was really great. Both the one that was produced here, them talking about their experience coming to the CIA, and then also seeing their walking through the markets in Mexico, because I go to the market here every week in my farmer's market, and it just felt so human. Like, there they are in their farmer's market, going to the stalls, doing the tortillas, and then seeing those tortillas on our plate tonight, I was like, oh my God, this is the same tortilla that he rolled. I mean, obviously not the exact same one, but, you know, just visually, it reminded me of the tortilla that he rolled in the video at the stall in Mexico, and then it was here on my plate, and I just felt this very warm connection.
It's been a whole very authentic experience for me. I don't know if you felt that way as well, but it's almost very cool to see the whole kind of process. You know, like you mentioned in the video, you're watching them work on things and then you're, you know, seeing it in front of you and tasting it. Do you agree?
Totally agree. And that is the right word to use, authentic. It's also like we all came to this gathering not knowing really what to expect or who was going to be here. Not even knowing what the premise of the event was, quite honestly, but we are invited to come and explore a region through the food and be surprised. And that's exactly what happened. We explored the region, we met the people, we enjoyed the food, we drank the wine and tried the mezcal or the tequila. And it's just been such a warm and wonderful night. That's all I can say.
And now when you travel, do you generally kind of take the approach of exploring new places through food?
It's totally. I mean, my husband and I, that's how we founded the Valley Table magazine, is because we realized that the way that we could connect with a place was through food, through the farmers who are growing it, the people who are making it, and then the people who are cooking and serving it. Food is such a wonderful way of bringing us together. Somebody stopped at our table tonight and said, you know, isn't this great? It's not about politics. It's not about religion. It's about food. And we're all enjoying it and loving it together.
Is Tamaulipas now on your to-do list in terms of traveling?
It's up there, potentially. You know what? It's on the list. Or it's on a list. It's on an awareness. One of the organizers who represents, I think she said, 32 states in Mexico, and she says she can't wait to bring the next one here. And I said, isn't that great? First of all, I also wanted to put a call out to the Culinary Institute, because I think this is, I don't know, it's probably not a first for them, but I don't think that they do this that often. And this was really special that they invited this tourism group from Mexico, from not a popular area, not a place that anybody knows, to come and explore. And, you know, they stopped at the table and said, you know, thank you for having us here at the Culinary Institute. It was a big deal for them to be able to come here. So I think that speaks eons for how this institution has changed and evolved and really opened our eyes through food and now our experience as well.
Thank you so much.
Last but not least, we have Andrew Dominic, who is a freelance writer for CT Bites, for Westchester Magazine, and a few other publications, to kind of get his take on this event, educating us about the cuisine of Tamaulipas, Mexico.
You're a true foodie. You've been to a lot of events. What is your impression so far of what we've had today?
Really interesting. I know a lot about Mexican cuisine anyway, but I think it's good for other people to see that it's not just, you know, and we touched on this earlier, that it's not just tacos, you know, burritos and tostadas, that, like, you know, it's roasted meats and it's seafood, it's ceviche, and some of the cooking techniques involved, like we were talking about, like the masa flour tortillas, or the, no, sorry, masa and flour don't go together. That's the alcohol. But no, it's like that stuff is different than what we expect, and like just some of the flavors, like, you know, you expect the corn to be sweet like it is, you know, in the New York, Connecticut, tri-state area, but it's actually not sweet at all. So I think it's important for people to know that, and they get an education on Mexican food and what it really is.
I feel like I've been talking with a lot of people about flavor, and I think because you're a little bit more well-versed in the food world, I want to really discuss texture with you. So if you think about corn and the texture that corn is, and then it turns into all these amazing, magical things, it's pretty interesting. What's been a surprise texture-wise so far for you?
Probably the masa. It's different from anything I've had in this area. I think that's partially due to the beef fat and the pork fat mixture that they're using, incorporating that into the masa. That was something different. Like, it was I used this term earlier, and I'm going to use it again. I'm probably going to use it in some articles in the future, but I said it's good greasiness. Like, that, it was almost like an arepa, if you can picture what that's like the whole corn pocket. It was like that, but in a flattened, you know, tortilla. And I guess I just wasn't expecting, like, that good greasiness. Like, I don't know, you could taste, like, some of the flavor in the animal and, like, the animal fat. And that might not sound appetizing, but damn, it's delicious.
Talk to me about what your favorite dish has been so far.
I'm still on the fence with the whole roasted pork, that smoked bean sauce that they made. I don't know if I didn't like it or if I really loved it. That's kind of like at opposite ends of the spectrum, but it was not like anything I've ever had before on a Mexican in a Mexican dish. But right now, I think the goat tacos were probably my favorite, mostly because the goat, like the suckling goat, the meat on that is a little more tender than what you might expect. And that's just basically from the suckling goat. It's kind of a like a gelatinous because it hasn't started eating like solid food yet. So it makes but it actually makes the meat taste a lot better.
There's something I loved. I will say I agree with you on that smokiness. Like, you were almost like, do I love this or do I not love this? But I think I'm going to say I loved it, because it kind of still with me a little bit. And I love sometimes how a dish is like, still a reminder that it's there. It really like kind of enveloped my mouth, and I love it. It was like such a great flavor.
Yeah. You know, the pork itself was great. And I would think I would say the other thing that I hadn't tried before on a dish, like I've had it in a arepa before, but like it was that like grilled cheese that they put on the plate. Haven't had that as part of a composed dish before. So that was interesting too. Kind of just like, it's almost like mozzarella, but like more dense. That was kind of cool. I dug that.
Now let's talk about traveling. Are you in? Like, are you ready to pack your bags and go?
When are we going?
I think, what are you most excited about, you know, checking this location out? What is the most exciting part of this?
I like that it's not a touristy place. Because, like, I know for me, even if I go somewhere that's labeled as touristy, like, I actually don't hang out in the places where everyone else does. I try to do what locals do and go to places where locals eat and where locals hang out and drink. So that appeals to me probably more than anything.
There's a little bit of authenticity there, right? Like, you're really getting the culture versus a touristy experience.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, like, wholeheartedly. Like, if you go somewhere like a Walt Disney, for instance, like, I love Disney, don't get me wrong, but that's not a true representation of, like, Florida. Florida's beaches and this and that, and I feel the same way about, you know, Mexico. Like, I think people think Mexico City, and some of the chefs touched on this earlier. A lot of the stuff you hear about Mexico is all bad stuff. There's a lot of good stuff there, too.
Well, we have to take a quick break. You're listening to Fork This with Intoxicate. Keep it locked right here at 1490 WGCH.